Welcome, welcome to the Sip Podcast. Today, we're going to make some little short and welcome back. Controversy Space, Stephen V. Doing TV. I'm going to rock you today. We've got a lot of things to talk about. It's been a while.
Let's sit.
It's great being back. It's been a while. And getting ready for 2022, there's a couple of things I'd like to discuss with you. Number one, welcome back to the show Controversy, where everything is all about live, and you'll hear me telling you from time to time that if you're scared, be scared before you respond. One of the things I want to start this show off with today is probably one of the most controversial things that are facing America today, and that's the virus. And it's interesting because during this hiatus from the station, I've heard several comments and had several discussions. So let me share this with you, especially those of color. You know, it's interesting that this whole thing about the virus is about one's belief of whether, you know, it's a controversy, not a controversy, but a, what's the word I want to use? A confusion about what this thing actually is, and also the confusion about whether one should take the shot or not. And this big thing about the conspiracy theory, which is really driving me crazy. I had a person in my family who recently came down with the virus quite viciously. And, you know, and when talking to them about it, because I was with them when they got sick, and I observed them getting sick and told them, I said, you know, this is not a flu like you think it is. We really got a problem. You really need to go to the doctor. And she refused to go. And as things would have it, she got sick and ended up in the hospital. And what blew me away was when I asked about why not take the shot, you know, the first thing that came out of her mouth is it's poison and the fact that God will heal me. And I'm like, you know, I get it, I guess. But the problem with saying such is this: who do you think these doctors got their knowledge from if they didn't get it from God? That's number one. And number two, understand the drug itself is a platform drug. It's not actually the virus. And number three, the virus is just a really aggressive flu. So, you know, with that being said, you know, the fascinating thing about it to me is the conspiracy theory. You know, well, the Tuskegee Instrument argument I heard today, and the fact that the government is putting chips in the serum and all this crazy nonsense. In the first place, the government doesn't have to put a chip in the serum. They can find you. Are you on the top? Trust me, they can track you down anywhere. You got a social security number, they can follow you. So put that out of your head. They're not going to waste the money or the time to do that. Secondly, when you talk about this whole conspiracy about the Tuskegee Institute thing, let me share something with you. First of all, if you go back and understand, especially of color, you're talking about a conspiracy. This is a conspiracy. It's called birth control. The person's name was Margaret Sanger, who created this. And when she created this birth control concept and promoted this whole thing about abortion, what in the heck do you really think this woman's motive was, especially when the birth control pills and all this nonsense started in the black community? I really don't understand it. That's a conspiracy because they were actively trying to destroy a race. So now you want to sit here and talk about the Tuskegee Institute? Be realistic, okay? The truth of the matter is this. It is a virus. It is a dangerous virus. 800,000 plus, which is the whole population of the city of Indianapolis, have died. It is now mutated to the point that they're getting 300,000 cases just last Friday. The hospitals are bursting at the seams. And what kills me is the selfishness of people. I don't like taking shots either, to be honest with you. But the selfishness of people saying things like, well, I should have the right to not take the shot. I get it. But get this as well. You don't have the right to jeopardize my life or anybody else's life. I mean, that doesn't make logical sense. So while we're sitting here talking about this, understand one thing. It's not that I'm trying to take anybody's rights away. I really truthfully don't think Foster or anybody else is trying to take anybody's rights away. What they're trying to do is to protect themselves, which they have every right to do. So, you know, I mean, just think about that a little bit. And for those of you who want to call in and comment on it, then just really just take a moment. And before you say something really stupid, because you know me, I will call you out on it. The truth of the matter is, think. It's not all about you in this situation. This is a worldwide global epidemic that is killing people at record numbers.
I got a question.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Bernstein in the building.
No. Hey, you know what? And I haven't seen him in a couple of months because he's been busy. I've been busy, and naturally the virus has kept us, once again, apart. So what's the question?
So they have the shot.
Yes.
But they keep coming out with a different version of this every week. So I wonder, do you think they're going to make different versions of the shot?
Yeah, probably, because this thing is mutating at just unbelievable record time. I mean, unlike the normal flu, which, once again, it is a flu, and just like we have not gotten rid of the flu of the common cold, we're not going to get rid of this totally. But yes, there's going to be more shots because it's one of those things until we figure out what exactly is making it mutate so rapidly, then we've got to take deterrence. I mean, we really don't have much of a choice. Now, with that being said, do I eventually think they'll come up with a shot that will eradicate it? Ain't going to happen. That is not going to happen. Will they be able to control it? It's going to depend on a lot of factors. It's something we don't understand. Even the experts who are experts at understanding don't understand it because we can't figure out why it's mutating so rapidly. But with that being said, yes, there's going to be more shots. There's no doubt in my mind. Now, once again, though, a lot of the problems that we have with this situation is we have not gone back to certain things that are basic, like washing our hands, okay? I mean, I go to men's restroom and fascinated when these guys walk out after they're doing what they're doing and just walk out the door. The other thing is social distancing. I mean, I've always believed and will continue to believe that don't invade my space because I won't invade yours, okay? Now, you know, in some situations you can't, like in an elevator. I mean, you're not going to be 6 feet in the elevator. That's not going to happen. But the truth is, or slow dancing, and I'm going to keep slow dancing, okay? But on real, social distancing is important because people deserve to have their space. So, yes, and answer to your question again, yes, the more shots are going to be necessary. But I want us to think about it and talk more about it. But there's some other things that are pressing in my brain in reference to things that are happening in the world. And what I call it right now is nationalism being described as a democratic process. You know, we are still living with this cloud of Donald Trumpism. We're still living with this cloud of ultra-conservatism, which is not reasonable whatsoever. Anything that's ultimate is not reasonable. And that's really, I mean, this new breed of conservatism and misunderstanding and separation is running rampant, and it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. People must understand one thing, very much understand one thing. Until we realize we must have a balance of thought processes, until we realize that my right to live, my right to succeed as yours is paramount to our democratic process. And until we understand that, it's going to get worse. Now, do I advocate locking up every knucklehead, and that's what you call them, knucklehead, ultra-conservative battlehead, whatever you want to call them? No, that I'm against, okay? Because locking them up and putting them away will only encourage more radicalism. What I am in favor of doing this is let's follow the law and the Constitution. This is what the conservatives keep saying, but they fail to do such. For instance, there is no way in this sunshine that anybody can justify the attack on the Capitol. No way. The January 6th attack on the Capitol, if it was anybody else, especially if it was one of color, they would have locked us up. It was treasonous. Donald Trump's attitude about he didn't do anything or I'm wiping my hands is typical of Donald Trump's attitude. I mean, he's the kind of guy that'll start a flame and run away. He don't run to it. He runs away, okay? He is, by any stretch of the imagination, a coward. I don't care what anybody says. And if you don't like what I say, then here's what I suggest you do. Turn it off, because I'm going to keep saying it. The truth is the truth, and you cannot run from the truth. So we really need to touch bases on that, and we really need to talk about it. I mean, because if not, Bernstein, we're going down, okay? Anybody who believes that America's on a high right now, it's fooling themselves. We're not on a high at all. Socially, politically, we are at an all-time low. And remember,
I know, right?
Oh, absolutely. And remember, Michelle Obama, if always has to be a woman or a mother that teaches us certain things. She said long ago, when they go low, we go high. Remember, we come from a generation of kings and queens. We come from a generation of the Socrateses and the philosophers of old. We come from a generation, which is the ninth tribe of Israel, which if you look by the stretch of your imagination, those people who believe in Christ know that this is where he came from, okay? Those people who believe in Islam understand, in fact, more so recently than we are understanding where we come from. We need to go back to start acting like such. Oh, Bernstein, check it out, man. I just thought of something.
This morning,
this morning, man, I got up to the most horrendous thing I ever heard in my life. This young boxer, yeah, with his family in the car, children, and this lady in the car was viciously assassinated. And that's exactly what it was, and assassinated because of road rage. Are you up to that?
No, I ain't hearing nothing about that.
Man, listen, let me tell you something. In America, please listen, especially those of color. Anytime you're going to take a man's life, because you and him, I have no idea what and there, are driving down the street and one gets next to each other, or wherever the case may be, took the man's life with his children in the car and his woman sitting right next to him. Come on. I don't even know what to say about it, but those of you who know about it, let's talk about it. Those of you who don't, check out the news today, because it was the first thing I heard this morning when I got up, because I am a big Good Morning America fan, so that's the first thing was on there. That is so ridiculous. And then we sit here and make statements like, Black Lives Matter. I got news for you. If Black Lives Matter so much, why are we killing each other at a record pace? Makes no sense to me. None. This is Stephen B. sitting here in the key of E talking to you about the real, okay? We're going to be more real this year than we ever have been, okay? It's not a matter that I'm sidestepping the religious issues. It's not a matter of me sidestepping life issues. It's about confronting what's real issues. And what's real is that was assassination. It was savage. It was unnecessary. And I hope that that's the person who did it. I really do. Because if I had the resources, I would catch the person myself. And one other thing before I get to this, okay, it's very interesting to me that a young man was killed. It was a hit and run. Got hit by a truck, okay, while he's skateboarding or whatever that thing is he was doing down the street. Now, let me tell you what's real to me. What's real to me was they caught that man, and they caught the man because the people in the neighborhood went forth and, as we like to call it, snitched.
Yeah, I remember that was last week, right?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Now, here's the interesting thing about it. The man was white who killed this young black child, and the people who snitched on him were white, and the child was of color. In fact, I know, and Bernstein, I'll have to point him out to you, but you know his grandfather. Comes down to the post. He lives in Las Vegas. He grew up with my brother, one of my brother's best friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, he's still in town. I think he's still in town now. I think he's going back to Vegas and coming back to Indianapolis because he spends a lot of time here. But to sit there and watch this whole episode unfold, people of color, whether you want to call it snitching or not, when things like that happen, we have to have the courage to come forth and say, this is wrong and this is who did it. If you're scared, say you're scared. But the truth of the matter is, while you being scared, lives are being lost, and people who will perpetrate this whole madness are getting away. If we want to stop the killing, if we want to strengthen our families and our race, then we need to get busy and do the same thing that these white folks did. Not only I applaud them. I really wish that I have the opportunity to meet these people and shake their hands and tell them I love them, because that's what it's all about. The call-in number is 515-605-9800. If you need cameras, contact Digital Guard. Oh, check this out. If you need home security, if you need business security, our sponsor and technically the owner of the Yasser Network is called Digital Guard. You need to check them out. You can get information by contacting Digital Guard at www.preventbusinesscrime.com for business, or for private use, www.preventhomecrimes.com for your home. Check that out. Digital Guard. We're talking about something that's revolutionary. We're talking about something that is showing up, going to keep you safe. It's going to watch you. It's going to watch your home, and it's going to protect your family. So check that out. Once again, that's a Digital Guard. And you contact us at www.preventbusinesscrime.com. That's for your business. And for your personal and private use, www.preventhomecrimes.com for your home. Don't forget, the call-in number is 515-605-9800. And Bernstein, I really apologize to our listening and viewing audience for starting off, or I should say ending the year, with so much negativism. But right now, we got some issues we got to deal with, especially us of color, because if we don't start taking care of business now, you think 2021 was bad? Look out for 2022. About time for me to take a quick break right now. Don't forget, the call-in number is 515-605-9800. You're at Controversy. Stephen B. at the mic.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Big party, man.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the end. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and care here today. Oh,
punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Always a chance to grow from the struggle, from the pain, from the realness. Here's my story, Lord.
Hey world, yeah, I know it's been a while. Thought I'd come around and let you know what's up now. No album lately, so my mind is kinda up down. I still been taking care of my mama and them somehow. Disappeared from the scene and left my old team. Had to find a new approach to an old dream. And it's not to take a shot at my old team. I just want you to see, this is me. So please accept me for who I am. And please accept me for what I do. I'm just doing everything that I can, 'cause all I wanna be is true. So please accept me for who I am, and please accept me for what I do. 'Cause there's no me without you, and all I wanna be is true. Alright, and all I wanna be is true. Apologies if I ever let you down. So much didn't happen that it's hard to talk about. So many losses that my lawyer said don't talk about it. Just had to pray and keep it cool till I can walk about it. Came home and my sister raised a child. Kinda hurt me 'cause I could have had my own now. I lost my baby, damn, it's really getting home now. I just had to learn. This is me. So please accept me for who I am. And please accept me for what I do. I'm just doing everything that I can. 'Cause all I wanna be is true. So please accept me for who I am. And please accept me for what I do. to the sky, Lord, why do I cry when no one is looking? Is the blame for this pain even caused by the shame of this fame I've been given? My pride don't cause me to hide my true feelings, 'cause I can only be real, hey, 'cause I can only be real. Oh, 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 oh. And now this is me, so please accept me for who I am. For what I do, I'm just doing everything that I can, 'cause all I wanna be is true. So please accept me for who I am, and please accept me for what I do, 'cause there's no me without you, and all I wanna be is true.
Alright, alright.
And all I wanna be is true. And all I wanna be is true.
It's not that I don't want you here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something about the way you stare into my eyes. I know that I don't.
More pep in your step, a little glide in your stride. This is Stephen B. in the show Controversy. And in the key of E, that's excellence for you and me. It's all about the real, y'all. And when we left, we talked about several subjects that were really, really serious. We talked about the virus. We talked about the killing of this young man who was out with his family and was, as I say, assassinated during a road rage incident with his children in the car. And that's really heavy on my heart right now, because we're talking about things that are just totally unnecessary. We need to stop the killing. We need to show a little love, especially going into 2022. Let's try to make things just a little different by making 2022 dedicated to the love. Bernstein.
So, I got a question.
Uh-oh.
I know we say we got to do better and we got to stop killing each other, but what are some of the solutions that maybe – to curb some of the self-hatred that we have for each other and killing each other?
That's a good question. In fact, it's $1 million, probably an answerable question. But let me share this with you, if I may. The first thing we have to do is think. That's what that thing in between your ears are for, using your brain. That's the first thing we need to do. The second thing we need to do is understand that actions have repercussions, whether positive or negative. And it seems like that until we can get this culture of misunderstanding the difference between the two, we're going to continue having the problems that we have. One of the solutions that we need to come up with is we need to deal with, what's the word I want to use? Conflict. Okay, conflict resolution. And, you know, when you think about conflict resolution, it becomes a matter of people listening. Part of the problem that we have is we don't listen to one another. We are so busy trying to be selfish in our thought processes that we don't take the time to just listen. And it doesn't take a lot to just listen. Now, I I'll be the first to tell you, because sometimes I have that problem not listening, even though professionally I should know better. But the truth of the matter is, until we start listening to one another, we're going to continue to have the problems that we have. Let me say this. I got to stop and do this only because I am ex-military, I am a veteran, and I am so serious about what's going on in veterans' lives. And I want to put a shout out to all the veterans today and say thank you for your service. Thank you for your commitment, especially during this time. It's very difficult for families to be separated during the holidays. But I can tell you that I know a couple of people personally, and I've been in communication with them online as much as possible, that are not with their families and not with their loved ones, but they still have a cheery attitude. They're still serving our country. And I think that we really, really need to give them all a great shout out, show them a little love, and tell them thank you for the service. Not only those overseas, but those at home as well. So, check this out. I got to laugh about it because it's very true. I met a soldier, if you will, who, when I say beautiful, I mean just outstandingly beautiful. And I sat there and looked at her and said to myself, you know, when I was in the service back in the 70s, you know, that's when men were men and women looked like men. These young ladies that are coming out that I've seen lately, especially this one, are just unbelievably beautiful. So, you know, being a veteran and sitting there thinking, because I served Bernstein when they didn't even, I was in the Navy as you were. And I served when you couldn't even have women on the ships.
Yeah, I was the last generation where you could have women on the ship. Like, I was on the aircraft carrier and USS Enterprise. And they took us in the dry dock to prepare to have women on the aircraft carrier. So I was like the last generation no women on the fighter ships anyway.
So thanks for telling all our listening and viewing audience how old I am. I really appreciate it.
No problem. We do our best.
Thanks a lot. But no. Back to being serious. Let me share something with you. I don't know how to put this in perspective. You know, back to this issue of Black Lives Matter, because Bernstein, you know, I'm probably one of the critics of Black Lives Matter. Let me give out this phone number again. The call in number is 515-605-9800. That's 515-605-9800. And for those of you who remember, my whole thing is, if you're scared, say you're scared. When you call me, start out by telling me you ain't scared, because if not, I will disconnect you. Okay, I'm being real. I will cut the phone off, okay, because I want to make sure that people who call in are talking those things that are real. So I just, you know, let's have some fun with it, but at the same time, let's be serious about it, because these are serious issues that are facing us. And, you know, this Black Lives Matter thing, and you know what's even worse about it is we really have allowed, especially the conservative nature of our Black brethren, to use this whole Black Lives Matter thing to infer that it's all about violence, and that, you know, that we want that some cover up story or for a secret mission or whatever. I mean, these conspiracy theorists just crack me up. But Black lives do matter, but we need to start showing ourselves that it matters. I mean, when you look at the record,
what does that actually mean, Black Lives Matter?
Don't I don't know.
Me, though.
I'm gonna tell you, I don't know.
I never seen a light that had a color.
I
never seen a light that had a color before.
Okay. All right. But no, seriously, man. You know, the Black Lives Matter thing, I mean, look at the increase in numbers of the murders that we have had within the community of color. I mean, it's unbelievable, and I am so tired of watching mothers cry because their children are being slaughtered, and that's exactly what it is, in the streets. In my city of Indianapolis, every year, if you notice, there's been an increase, a huge increase of deaths within the community of color. And it's shameful. It really is shameful. I mean, you know, we need to come to grips with the facts that we can sit here and accuse and blame everybody, you know, for our issues and our problems, but the truth of the matter is we're creating them, so therefore we are the people that can cure them. We can solve them. It's not an unsolvable thing. It starts with self-respect. It starts with doing unto others as you would have them to do unto you. It starts with loving your family. It starts with men being men. Let me repeat that. Men being men. Stop being boys. I mean, really.
Please stop. Do you know what, though? Part of the reason why these boys, once the ladies stop letting these so-called men, the boys get away with it, that's when they'll change.
Hello.
A lot of these women got to stop. Look, I ain't trying to go after the sisters, but it's real.
it is real. And if you go back to the generation that I grew up in, and a lot of us grew up in single-parent homes. I didn't, but a lot of us did. But the truth of the matter is this, when it comes to legends and when it comes to things of sense, when it comes to stability, it started with the woman, our mothers, okay? And you know what? I think that we need to start going back to listening to that motherism within us. My mother's no longer here, but her spirit rides with me each and every day. In fact, every now and then, Bernstein, I don't know about anybody else, but every now and then I get that slap in the back of my head when I did something stupid mentally from my mother. We've got to go back to the basics. Once again, we are kings. We are queens. But we have to understand that in order to call ourselves such, we need to start acting like such. And right now, I'm not a bit disappointed. I'm very disappointed in how we are acting, especially the males. I mean, you know, our job is to protect our families. Our job is to stand up and show some type of stability in our homes. And it all starts with the home. So until we can get back to that, we're going to continue to have the problems that we have today. Oh, and by the way, listen, let me put a little drop in your head. I've covered so many things, but I got to talk about sports right now because I'm going to tell you, somebody needs to explain something to me. The NBA.
Speaking of sports, not the.
Go ahead.
Can I play the news clip? Real
sure,
quick,
sure. Please play
the news clip. And then you can talk about the NBA, not the.
Absolutely.
I forgot what you said, sports. I'm like, we got a news report to play. Let me get the.
We gotta do news. It's like paying the bills, you know. So while he's getting prepared to do that, a lot of things happen in sports, not just in football and basketball and baseball, but you got to hear this. So check this out.
Let me know you.
First, some sad news just breaking out of the world of football. NFL coaching and broadcasting legend John Madden has died. The league reports he passed away unexpectedly this morning. Madden, no doubt, one of the most iconic figures in NFL history. He dominated as both the head coach of the Raiders, winning Super Bowl XI, and finishing his career with 103 wins, 32 losses, and 7 ties. But then he went on to become dominant in the broadcast booth. In fact, one of the greatest color commentators ever. He was so popular, and of course, a video game was named after him. John Madden, the ultimate Raider, was 85 years old.
And you know what? You know what? He became coach at 32 years old.
Yeah, I just found that out this morning.
Yeah, and won a Super Bowl.
Did he win a Super Bowl?
He won a Super
With the Raiders?
Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did win a Super Bowl. But let me tell you something else about John. It was really interesting, and I'm saying like I know him, but you know, if you know anything about John Madden and his influence on the sports world, then people called him John. But do you know that the reason why he traveled in that bus?
I remember. I do know. Well, you know what?
He didn't like flying.
This is a spoiler alert. But, you know, they made a documentary about him. The John Madden documentary came out on Christmas Day.
Really?
On Fox. And it's amazing. The documentary about his life came out on Christmas Day, and then he passed away 3 days later.
Wow.
They talk about that in the documentary, too.
But guess what? I bet you didn't get the criticism Michael Jordan got. I'm going to leave that alone.
But, yeah, why'd he stop flying on planes?
Really? Yeah. But
do you know why, though?
No.
You don't know why?
No.
Because he's always, he was claustrophobic. And he also just didn't like flying because, you know, he was afraid of flying. So they was on a flight, I think in the documentary, that smart spoiler, that's okay. They was traveling, and he said, if this plane lands, I'm never getting on the plane again. So they went and bought an old Greyhound bus. That was his first bus.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow. But let me say something to you about sports, and I'm going back to the virus. Now somebody needs to explain this to me. The NBA has probably the less amount of cases of the virus situation. And they did a great job. Was it last year, year before last, when they placed all the players in a bubble?
In the bubble? That was trash, though.
They got along. Baseball is not so bad. But I want somebody to explain to me why we have this crazy outbreak in football. I mean, if you think about it, basketball, you have more contact, and you're inside on top of that. Football, sometimes you're inside, sometimes you're outside. Yes, they're hitting each other on the thing, but not the kind of contact that the NBA has.
So it makes it the opposite of the logic when they say be outside, but they outside, but football has high numbers. So
yeah,
that defies the logic of what they were saying about the virus. I mean, the separation thing, right?
Yeah, that I'm not sure I quite understand what's going on with the NBA. And by God, as things would have it, for all you Colts fans.
The NBA or the NFL?
NFL.
Yeah.
For all you Colts fans, and I'm one of them, our quarterback, not that he was the greatest thing to ever happen to our team, but now they tried to protect him. Unbelievable. I mean, they made private travel accommodations. They made accommodations where that he would review the films and stuff by himself, and he still got the virus. I don't understand it.
Speaking of sports, can we get into the politics of sports real quick and the virus? Because I got a whole lot of questions here for you, Stephen B.
Okay. Go ahead.
First off, talking about the NFL and the COVID. So I heard on the news they said the Colts quarterback, he has not been vaccinated.
Right.
Okay. Then you have Aaron Rodgers, who lied and said he was vaccinated and couldn't have found that he wasn't vaccinated and
right,
ended up getting the COVID.
Right.
And then you have Antonio Brown down in Tampa get caught with a fake COVID vaccination card, and they've been running him through the ringer and like trying to run him out of town and kick him off the team and stuff. But no one has said anything. The fact of Aaron Rodgers lied to his teammates in the NFL, is that not a double standard in sports, especially in the NFL?
I wish you would have chosen someone besides Antonio Brown. And the reason being, and this is the only reason, is Antonio has been off the chain, man, since he's been in the NFL. In fact, he was off the chain in college, okay? So, you know, I'm not really feeling this Antonio Brown thing at all, okay? Now, with that being said, Aaron Rodgers, first of all, it's unbelievable that he would place not only himself in jeopardy, but his entire team in jeopardy. Now, should he have taken a walk? Absolutely not. Really. I mean, it's like, to me, what's the black quarterback's name who they basically kicked out of the NFL unfairly? Kilpatrick? Not Kilpatrick. What's his name? Help me. You know what I'm talking about. The one who took the knee. Kaepernick.
Yeah, no, they ran him out of town, didn't they?
Yeah, and see, you know, once again, when you taking Antonio Brown out of the situation, when you compare that to what Aaron Rodgers has done and some of the others has done, that is really a double standard. In fact, there's no standard whatsoever. As a matter of fact, not only is it no standard, nobody yet has made sense to me about that whole episode, because I'll say it now, like I said in the past, that taking a knee or kneeling has always been a sign of respect and prayer.
And you know what's crazy about that? He also said that several times. He kept saying, look, I went and talked to soldiers before I even took a knee, and they said that is a sign of respect.
It is.
But
it
they
is.
Flipped the narrative on him. But at the same time, I don't feel sorry for Kaepernick being kicked out of the NFL, because he got the money. He got the bag. He's gone about his business.
You're correct. He did get paid. But still at that, though. I mean,
but I want to know about this double standard of how does Aaron Rodgers get immunity and don't get ran through the ringer. But and I know Antonio Brown is a bad example because he does have a bad track record. But at the end of the day, he lied. Could you imagine if another player would have lied like that? You think that he would have got the silence from the media?
There's only one answer for that. Donald Trump lied for 4 years and got away with it.
That's
so
true.
Well, you know,
they all lie, though, not just Donald.
Yeah, but you know the truth of the matter is double standards in America is the rule of the day. I mean, unfortunately, we run around and call ourselves a democracy, and we call ourselves the land of the free and the brave and all that stuff. And really, when I be honest, I don't want to be overcritical to the United States, or about the United States, because I do love my country. But the truth of the matter is, it does make me scratch my head. I'm going to take you back to an incident or an episode in our life chain that really just stays in my brain. That was apartheid. You know why I'm saying that?
Why is that?
Because, number one, when you look at you think about, you know, the pro sports today, and then think about apartheid. The truth of the matter is, we sat here and talked about spreading love and freedom and people's rights to exist during that period, yet we didn't take the opportunity, nor did we take the courage to stand up to apartheid, okay? We let it go on for years and years, and in fact, we funded that government for years and years and years. So
apartheid, a lot of people, I guess, is the South Africa's version
right,
of the
absolutely.
Civil rights movement. Well, not the black,
version.
The Jim Crow, the South African version of Jim Crow, I guess.
Right, exactly.
Apartheid, okay.
Exactly. See, and you know, I'm going to say this. I don't care if it pisses people off, but it's the truth. I can't remember the player who made the statement that it is almost like the slave trade. I mean, especially in the NFL, when you talk about the combine, and basically they.
What you mean is it is a slave trade? What you mean is something like, well, hold on, what's
you're
going
right.
on, Stephen? What's up with the sugarcoat lately?
No.
What's going on here?
I've gotten older, I guess. But no, seriously, man. I mean, check this out. In the first place, it's very true. I mean, they take these guys and bring them to Indianapolis, my hometown, where I'm broadcasting from today, and they take them, they stretch them, and they look at their mouths, and I mean, all that.
That's kind of like how they do the racehorse. Could you imagine how you can take a football player and put a racehorse next to each other and watch them do the whole process?
Exactly.
Look at their mouths?
Exactly.
That is crazy, though, now you think about it.
Exactly. And then, even though people say, well, look at the kind of money they're making. Okay, I got that. But here's the other issue. It's all about buying and selling. And trading, big time. Even more so, at least you got to give the NBA credit for one thing. Number one, they have a very, very strong union, okay? And you have some very outspoken, intelligent, very intelligent, not saying that football players are not, but intelligent young men standing up for their rights and talking very strong about it. And they have learned how to use the leverage of economics in order to get their point across. The NFL, though, it's completely different. As a matter of fact, the NFL, and people don't realize this, but you should, the NFL is stronger from the owner's standpoint of view because the owners actually, as a conglomerate, own the NFL. They dictate everything about the NFL, unlike the NBA and unlike pro baseball, where even though the owners are a conglomerate, at the same time, though, they're very independent. I can't think of only one. Marge Schott, I think, is the only one I can remember whose team was actually taken from us, from them, but it took a whole lot to get her out of the business.
Well, who was that baseball? Who
baseball,
was
Marge Schott used to be, Cincinnati. I mean, that woman was so racist, it was unbelievable.
Oh, I remember her, yeah.
But you know, once again, we have to go back to the real, and the real is this. First of all, the call-in number is 515-605-9800. Let me pay some bills right quick. And also, our key sponsor, also the owner of our station, Digital Guard, is one fantastic company. Digital Guard is probably ahead, way ahead, and in the forefront of crime prevention as well as personal protection. You can get a hold of them and talk to one of the agents. We'll be more than happy to talk to you by contacting them at www.preventbusinesscrimes.com for your business, and also for your personal use, www.preventhomecrimes.com. Shrine.com for your home. You need to really check them out, because if you're concerned, as we all should be in the times we live in now, about your personal protection as well as your family's protection as well as your business, then contact Digital Guard. That is www.preventbusinesscrime.com for our business and www.preventhomecrime.com for your home. I encourage you to call in. And once again, when you call in, remember, Stephen B. got just one requirement. My thing is, if you're scared, say you're scared. You call me, tell me I'm not scared, and say what's on your mind. Be real about it. Be blunt about it. Be honest about it. So we can have an honest dialogue about those things that are affecting us in our community. And once again, Bernstein, I can't say this more than enough. Please, whatever you can do, reach out to your veterans. Those people are standing on the front line defending you, me, and this country. And it's not like they were forced to. They don't have to do that anymore. Now they have joined, which means that they are willing to lay down their life for a friend that they don't know. So please support your veterans. I'm one. Bernstein is one. In fact, most of the people that are producing in this company are veterans. Support them, okay, because I can remember, and I'm sure you can too, Bernstein, back in the day, we didn't get the support that we deserved. They're not getting the support they deserve now. It's a little better, but it's not where it should be. So please support the United States military and the men and women who are out there doing their thing for you and me. So
is there any, what I'm about to say is not, I'm not trying to be, it's a patriotic question, I think it is.
Sure.
But why is it that a lot of times the veterans get treated like second-class citizens in our country in some cases? In other words, well, I guess it's changed now since Vietnam. You remember like when the guys from Vietnam, remember there used to be a big case of like a lot of homeless veterans and stuff like that?
It still is big.
Oh, still like that? It's still,
yeah,
like that now?
Sure. Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, it really is. You know, and being a member of the American Legion and to have reached the ranks of, second in command of the Department of Indiana, it's rampant. You think it's bad just in normal life, and just like the food price and everything else is going up and people are getting hungry, it's really bad for the United States veterans, because we, in our minds, we know they exist, but the truth of the matter is it's almost like we as people are removed from their plight because we're not there, okay? We're not there. And you know, it's kind of hard for people to understand that out of everything you can do in life, especially career-wise, being a veteran, especially when you're overseas and away from home, is the most difficult, heart-wrenching experience you can really ever have. And these men and women do their best to keep their mental state together. And, you know, especially women. I mean, like I said earlier, I've met some of the most beautiful women in the military and had the opportunity to serve with a lot of them. And to be away from your husband and your children is not good at all, believe me. It's not good for them. It's certainly not good for the soldier. But I can't say enough that reach out. I mean, you know, if you know a veterans organization, please get involved. If you can, you know, send these men and women a piece of love from home. In fact, this is one of the reasons that I'm involved with Yasser, and Yasser is preparing to do some great things for veterans and have already did some things that are more than significant. But we're gonna do more, and we encourage you to do more. Please call me at 515-605-9800. And I am so glad to be back in this chair. You just don't know. It's kind of hard.
I know, me too.
Hey, man, listen, I was sitting at home talking to myself.
I mean, oh, wow. Me too. Yeah, I was looking at two crazies.
Hey, man, I look in the mirror saying, like, I ain't scared. I got to say what I got to say. And I'm gonna say something to you, because you made a comment, which is true. You said, stop your coat. You know, this year for me has been a very interesting year. I contemplated moving to out of town, Greensville, South Carolina, Atlanta. I have made several visits. I'm still making several visits. I'm still lecturing, doing all that kind of great stuff. But in my personal life, it has been a remarkable journey. I'm probably more at peace now with my personal life than I've ever been. Maybe one day, hopefully soon, because I do get in my moods of loneliness too, hopefully soon, that too shall also change. But I'm not out pushing for it. What I am going to say to you, each and every one of you out here now, is take the time to breathe. Take the time to dance in the rain. Don't use an umbrella. Dance in the rain. Learn how to dance in the rain. Because once you acquire that ability, trust me, life becomes so much better and so much clearer, especially in your personal life. And in your business life, remember one thing, that the God within has given you the power to achieve great and wonderful things. Your magical mystery tour called life is so real right now. And for those of you who don't understand the positiveness of what you have inside of you, then you're failing to do what you are placed here to do, and that's to have a successful destiny. So please take the time, breathe, close your eyes, dance in the rain. Don't worry about the sunshine, it ain't gone nowhere. Go out and achieve the greatness which awaits you, because it's awaiting you. Trust me, it really is. If you believe in yourself and the power that God has planted within you, remember, God is in what he created. God is in what he creates. Then you should know that you have the ability to accomplish anything you choose, to have anything you wish for. This is not a dream. It's real. Just start believing in yourself, trusting in yourself. And all this negativism, which has caused a lot of the problem we have in the world today, hey, start saying, evil, you got the wrong address, okay? It ain't here, okay? What's here is positiveness. So, you know, start doing that. And also, let me reach out and tell you this, that my new show times are Monday and Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. I will be doing some specials this year, as a matter of fact. Bernstein and I have been very creative, or thinking very creatively, for the last couple of months. And we got some pretty exciting things that are coming up. I'm not too sure of how much I can tell you today, but within the next couple of shows, you're going to hear more and more about what we're doing in the Yasser Network. Turn your friends on to Yasser, okay? Because number one, we have something unbelievable that was created by young men. I guess I shouldn't say young men. I guess some of us are young, like myself. Bernstein and my other compadres are older than I am. I just lied.
You are definitely a spring chicken, sir.
But check us out. That's YasserTV.com. Check us out and become a part of this network, because you're going to see some things that you have never seen before coming out of this type of operation. What CNN can do, what CNBC could do, what Channel 13, ABC can do, we can do, okay? And we can do it simultaneously, and we do it quite well. There's nothing shaky about this operation. There's nothing small about this operation. In fact, the owner has spent considerable amount of resources, his own personal resources, to create something for you and me. And that's a avenue for a voice. That's an avenue that says what's on your mind. We have independent streaming stations. We have, let's see, eight stations. Where's that? Oh, check it out. We got, does this tell me everything? Oh, yeah, we got eight TV channels. We got independent channels. We got an on-demand network as well as a professional network. We ain't playing, okay? We are taking care of business. And shortly, I guess I can tell you this much, shortly, we're taking a lot of our operations on the road. So
yes, we are going on the road.
Well, you just heard it. So we'll be going on the road, and hopefully we'll get to your hometown. It's going to be a process. And for those of you overseas, especially those in the military, just, you know, stay in tune and keep a track of our network, because we're doing some great things. We've got Culture Kings live Sunday.
That's the old schedule.
Oh, old schedule.
Yeah, it's the front.
Well, I tell you what, Bernstein.
Culture Kings is live on Fridays, and new episode is every Sunday on YizerTV.com.
Now,
we got Peppy and Snap now on live on Mondays.
Let's go back. Let's go
okay.
back.
All right, go back.
The reason why I want to go back, so as you tell me, tell what's going on, then I'll preface it by some comments. Number one, you're talking about three very dynamic brothers.
Oh, that's changed, too.
Who,
it's just two dynamic brothers
now,
Uncle
okay.
Coach King.
It's two very dynamic brothers who are
every brother on there is dynamic, not to cut you out, because everybody's on there. We all kings. Sorry, Stephen B. I just, you know, all the kings. But, yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Boy, burn, Steve. No, he's correct. He's very, very correct. But these are two gentlemen who have different points of view from the same perspective, and it makes sense. And it's very interesting. It's very enlightening. And it's, when I say real and raw, it's very real and raw. So now, Peppy and Snap?
Peppy and Snap, live on Mondays. New episode is every Wednesday on the One Guy TV channel, YizerTV.com. So Peppy and Snap is on Wednesdays, and Culture Kings is on Sundays.
Do we have something for the ladies coming up?
Yes. We have our new host to the program. Her, matter of fact, her radio show premiere last night is Miss Tana B.
Oh, okay.
So Miss Tana B, she has a show that's coming out. It's going to be called Talk to Tana. It's like her radio show is called Talk to Tana.
Uh-huh.
And her TV show is going to be called Talk to Tana Live or something like that. So we got she coming on board. And then we might be having two more young ladies coming on board. So we got mixes in it. Thing up because it's a sausage fest around here.
I'll leave that one alone, okay? But sausage fest, that's pork. You don't do pork.
Show it up.
That's a beef fest. There you go. Yeah. Our vegetarian.
And then we also got the new show that we've been putting in development is the Conversations with Stephen B show. And we're going to look like that's going to be, but we do the shows on Sunday possibly. We'll talk about that later. And a new episode of that'll be on Wednesdays.
Okay.
On the Buffalo Soldier channel.
Oh, that's cool.
We got a lot going on.
Yeah. And thank you for informing me of that one, since I didn't know.
I know, right?
But you're talking to Stephen B. The show is controversy. You know, we do in the key of E, me, excellence for you and me. We are not holding anything back. We're not trying to sugarcoat anything. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell it like it is one way or another, okay? And right now, let me share this with you again. I'm not going to keep beating on it, but I'm just going to be real. We got to, you know, when you talk about problems in our country, the biggest problem that is facing us today besides the virus is Congress. I mean, you know, these guys are making $169,000 a year, working 3 days out of the week, and still they can't come up with a compromise on how not only to fund this country continuously, but to help this country move forward. We're moving backwards.
Yeah, they're like kids on a playground that don't want to share their toys.
Say that again.
They're like kids on a playground that want to share their toys.
That's the truth. And the interesting thing about it is they sit here on TV. And in fact, you go to Congress and watch them work. This is what fascinates me. You can sit in that gallery and you hear one guy talking to a bunch of empty chairs. Then all of a sudden, when it's time for a vote, they rush in and vote and rush back out and have their cocktails. Now, you know, I want a congressman to call me. That's what I want you to do. I don't care from where, what state, call me. Because I got some serious questions I want to ask of how y'all function, because it makes no sense to me. You guys need to tighten your game up, because if anybody's more responsible for the negativism in this country, it's Congress, period. Now, do I think they should have been attacked January the 6th? No. I mean, that made no sense to me, and I'm sure it didn't make any sense to you. But, well, I shouldn't say that, because there's a whole lot of people out there that don't have common sense, because common sense ain't so common when you're dealing with Congress, okay? But the truth of the matter is this. You got to convince me, which I'm sure you cannot, of what the heck you are doing. You know, I mean, this makes less than sense, because there is none. Okay. The leaders of the House of Representatives, the leaders, and I'm not talking about the vice president, but the leaders of the Senate need to set your butts down. Act like adults, okay? Talk about it. Listen to each other. And come up with solutions that work for all of us, or at least the majority of us. You know, stop being so selfish, you know, and something else. Stop being in there a lifetime, okay? Because what you're basically doing, especially when you've been in Congress 30 years, that makes no sense. You're not letting any fresh ideas come in. All you're doing is still doing the same stupid crap you were doing 30 years ago. Stop it, okay? Stop making it a lifetime job. If you want to make it a lifetime job, just no. You can't make a lifetime job. Just stop doing it, okay? I mean, people need to learn to put limits on themselves. Do I advocate a bill that says term limits are necessary? No, okay? You need to understand within yourself that sometimes it's time to pass the baton, okay? And 30 years passing the baton to a person who's already in their 40s makes no sense, okay? It makes as little sense or as much sense as having an 89-year-old president. Stop it. Smarter than that, or at least we need to be smarter than that. We need to stop doing what we're doing and change our MO. And I think, and I may be wrong because my engineer just left, I think we might be off our live feed TV-wise, but you can still hear us you know, on the radio. So keep listening. The phone number to call in is 515-605-9800. You're speaking to Stephen B. The show is Controversy. Okay, now we got all that out of my system. Let's go back to where we started, which was talking about the virus. You know, let's stop the controversy about the conspiracy theories. Let's stop the controversy about whether one should take the shots or not. Let's look at this thing in a realistic pattern and a realistic life issue. First of all, let me do some explaining. This shot is not the virus itself. Okay, just the flu shot, pneumonia, most of all vaccinations that we take are actually a small strain of the virus itself. But this is a platform drug, meaning that it's basically synthetically made, okay? And what it basically does is it fakes out the virus. The virus is an aggressive virus, but it's not a very smart one, but it's very aggressive. What I mean by a fake out drug or a platform is this. What happens is once you have it in your system, then the virus attacks it. It attacks it just like it would attack any other thing and hopefully build up white corpuscles that fight off viruses or illnesses. But back to how this drug works is that once the virus attacks it, the virus attacks it and says, you know what? This is not a real virus. This is a fake. And it kind of leaves it alone, which allows the platform to expand and do harm or in some cases take out the virus. But let's make no misbelief of this, that the virus is here to stay. It is a flu that is a unbelievable, maturing, rapid, aggressive flu. That's what C viruses are, okay? So it's going to be with us the rest of our lives, just like flu and pneumonia and all that. The only thing we can hope to do is to contain it. And it begins with taking the shot. I don't like taking shots either. But some of the arguments we're coming up with about taking the shots makes no sense. For instance, before you can go to school, you got to take all these shots. In the military, you got to take all these shots.
Oh, definitely in the military. But I think the first 3 days in boot camp, we took shots.
Exactly.
Like, a lot of shots.
So the truth of the matter is, it's not like you don't do it. You do it. For some reason, we've got in our heads the fear of this particular shot. And I understand that a lot of it is confusion, and the experts are still trying to figure out what's the best route to go. But I tell you what, no attempt whatsoever is really a big problem. Because number one, what you are doing is by telling me that you have a right to not take the shot, I get it. But what you don't get is you don't have a right to jeopardize my life. 180,000 deaths. That is the whole population of the city that I live in, Indianapolis. 880,000, and that was as of last Friday. Today, they got 300,000 new cases. 300,000. Come on. We got to be more responsible than that. Or we're going to wake up one day and find out that not only the hospitals are filled, but we got to make some new cemeteries. Okay?
Okay, I got a question. So, where's the flu and the common cold now? Is all that all COVID now? Everything's COVID?
No, no.
COVID, some people say that COVID is
a version of the flu. It's just
it is.
More.
Any C viruses are flus, okay? Just point blank, that's what they are. And they call this C9. I'm not sure why they came up with the 9 number or whatever. But the Asiatic flu, you know, the Japanese beetle flu, every flu that you can think of comes from the C strand, okay? So this particular flu is just, it's an interesting flu because even though I call it a stupid flu because it's not very smart, it really isn't, as flus go, but it is an aggressive flu, and it's far more aggressive than anything we've ever seen before. But just like the common cold, just like pneumonia, just like all C viruses that I know of, it's going to be with us to stay. Now, the interesting thing, question is, how did this virus come about, this particular strand of the virus? Now, I'm going to tell you a theory, okay? And let me see if this makes sense to you. First of all, there's no doubt in my mind that it is a man-made C virus, okay?
I agree.
Now, we can say that because we have isolated enough to know that it came from one particular place. And basically, I believe there was a chemical warfare experiment that got out of hand. As I also believe...
Or could it be the weapons of mass destruction that they said they was looking for?
Yeah.
Like in the early 2000s?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt. That's what this stuff is all about. But let me take you back to the AIDS virus, and then this maybe will make sense to you. Once again, my theory. If you look at the AIDS virus in the United States, when it broke out in one particular area, basically in the Bay Area of San Francisco. Okay?
Really?
Absolutely. That's where we can really trace from the United States standpoint. Now, I'm going to go back, and I don't want anybody to get nervous, but you gotta be honest about things. I'll go back to the Tuskegee Institute as well. If you look at the Tuskegee Institute, where they targeted black men, okay, in order to experiment with a chemical warfare, is basically what it was, okay, by inoculating them with venereal disease, to see how destructive it could be. The AIDS virus, for us in Vietnam, if you look at the virus itself, what it attacks and how it attacks, Bernstein, it mimics almost identical the Agent Orange.
Which does, COVID or the AIDS virus?
The AIDS virus.
The like Agent Orange.
Attacks, yes, how it attacks and how it kills almost mimics that. Now, it is great interest that it broke out in the gay community in San Francisco. Seems like to me another chemical warfare experiment.
Yeah.
Of disposable, what people think are disposable people, are commodities in this country. Now we've got this virus.
The ones that they marginalize.
Right. Now we got this virus, okay? And the interesting thing about this virus is, yes, there's a whole lot of white America not taking the shot. But from a percentage standpoint of view, ignorance and putting out the information of what's really going on doesn't get to the black community like you think, okay? Because if it did, you wouldn't have these conspiracy theories that you have, okay? And what saddens me is people want to tell part of the truth. And part of the truth is really nothing but a lie and only serves the purpose of the person who's telling it, okay? Because the truth of the matter is this. Throughout history, not only in this country, but in all major countries, chemical warfare experiments have been going on for ages.
I agree.
Yeah, so we need to be a little smart and be a little more thoughtful.
Somebody was saying, now I don't know if this is a conspiracy theory or whatever, but they were saying that could it be possibly that they could be dispensing
this chemical warfare through the artificial rain that's been happening, with all these rainstorms that's happening, instead of it's snowing, it's raining everywhere. And they're saying that there could be a possible chance that's how they can be dispensing this virus through the weather. Think that's too far-fetched to think like that?
No, it isn't. I'm not sure I agree to it, but no, it really isn't. Because, see, one of the problems with this whole environmental thing is this, and global warming and all this, is the damage was already done. Because anytime, I mean, let's use some common sense. What is causing this whole global warming thing is we keep punching holes into the atmosphere, okay, the protective layer of the world. And you can't keep shooting up rockets, you know, breaking the stratosphere without putting holes in it. Oh, yeah, my producer just got a $15 fine. I don't know who he's going to pay it to, but okay. But anyway, no, back to this thing. So we've already damaged the ozone level, and we keep damaging it, which allows a lot of gamma rays and other things to go into our atmosphere, okay? So, you know, with saying that, we need to stop this whole destroying the planet by punching holes. And the thing is, we're not going to live in space. I mean, how many people really are going to be living on the moon, really? I mean, come on, let's be realistic.
I got a question about space real quick. I'm glad you said that, Stephen B. I heard somebody ask this question. We're here on Earth, and we see the sun. The sun brightens our day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why is it dark in space?
That's a good question.
Like, you flying close to the sun, but it's dark. Like, why is it dark in space? So you think there really is space?
Well, I got to tell you one thing, and you know me enough to know that I don't mind telling people I'm very knowledgeable about a lot of things, but now that's a good question. That I've got to really do.
We
got to
get some research, all right?
Yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, you're right. Why is it? Huh. I don't know. That's a – now, you know what? I'm going to be thinking about that all night tonight, you know? Wow. But anyway, but that's – you know, so that theory about them using – the holes in the atmosphere to do what they're doing, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. It really would not surprise me because we have done some really cruel, dumb crap.
Do you think we're going to really end up – because I grew up watching Star Wars, and, you know, Star Wars, you had all the different planets, but for some reason on Star Wars, they never went to Earth. Earth didn't exist in Star Wars, right?
That's true.
And so – my whole
but see, he's talking to a Buck Rogers generation person. But go ahead.
So you Buck Rogers on Star Wars, you say exactly. So the thing is, they keep talking about moving to Mars.
We're not. You know what? I think that anybody who thinks like that is really just unbelievably ignorant. Because
really ignorant, huh?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because first of all, let's look at the amount of money and time. And a couple of lives are lost with us going to the moon. Now, first of all, if you want to go out and go where no man has gone before, is the term, I guess, then why do we spend, you know, what, 25 years going to a rock? I mean, you're not going to be able to live on it. Now,
we're talking about Mars, we're talking about the moon.
We're talking about the moon, a rock.
They ain't trying to go to the moon. They trying to move to Mars.
But that's my point. We spent, if in fact, us thinking why we would think this way, that somewhere, how many years does it take you to get to Mars? I don't know. It's a long time. It's a long trip. But why didn't we spend the 25 years going in the first place? I mean, why spend 25 years going to a rock?
My question is, who's to say that people don't already live on Mars? Because it's like, how do we even know about Mars? Without Mars, if we talk about technology, how long have they been telling us that these other planets exist?
Let me tell you.
How would they know that without, if there's not actually people living these other planets and came to Earth?
Well, let me share this with you. Okay, let's go back.
Okay.
It's called Egypt, and it's called the pyramids and the tombs.
Yeah.
You know, it's very interesting that these things were created thousands of years ago, some of them before the birth of Christ. When you look at the hieroglyphics inside them, they got hieroglyphics that look like the space shuttle. They got hieroglyphics in there that look like a man in the moon. Okay? They got hieroglyphics in there that actually, I mean, and they got photographs, aerial photographs that show it looks like landing fields to an airport. Okay? I mean, and this was thousands of years ago. So for us to even believe that God just put things on this planet doesn't make any logical sense whatsoever. Yes, I believe life out there.
Do you think there's aliens that's living amongst us right now?
Well, first of all, if they're living amongst us, there ain't aliens. I believe no, because that would be like me saying there is people from Earth living in Mars or have.
And how do we know Mars. That? How do we know there's not people from Earth living in Mars?
Because it's obviously we haven't developed that technology yet. Because we haven't even developed the understanding of the hieroglyphics. We have not accepted the understanding about the superiority, and I'm going to be real, the superiority of the knowledge of those from the ninth tribe of Israel.
What if it was another realm of humans, though? Like, say for instance, we're this realm of humans.
Then there's
another realm of humans up here.
Then they wouldn't be humans. We'll go back and call them aliens.
You think so?
But the bottom line is, Do I believe that there's life that exists other than Earth? Absolutely, there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, because once again, you know, I'm talking about something before Christ, okay? And here's the strange part about it. It's interesting for those of you who haven't understood that Egypt is a part of Africa. Hello, Egypt ain't Egypt, and Africa is a part of Africa, a very significant part of Africa. But these people build buildings through pictures, created math, created all kinds of stuff that we have not scratched the surface of how they did it, nor do we have the knowledge of doing it.
So the Egyptians are the aliens?
Do you want to say what?
So are the Egyptians the true aliens?
No, but I do think that the other forms of life visited them. That's how they came up with the pictures that they came up with. Obviously, there had to have been some type of contact. I mean, they just didn't come up one day and figure, I'm going to draw the space shuttle. Or I'm going to put a man in a helmet like an astronaut, and then thousands and thousands of years later, it becomes a reality. That, come on, let's be realistic. I mean, there had to be some contact.
Can I give you an experience of mine I had smoking marijuana?
That's telling all.
It's all right, so.
Yeah.
Some years ago, I was sitting smoking some weed, right? I think I was still living in Atlanta. I was still in Atlanta. And so I was sitting outside and I started watching a bunch of bugs. I saw like some ants.
Bugs?
I saw like bugs.
Okay.
I mean, I was outside, so they doing their thing. Like I see the ants doing their thing, beetles, flies.
Real good.
So I think to myself, like, how do we not know that? We're like, you remember dinosaurs? So imagine you're an ant, but you see a human. How do we know that we're not dinosaurs in their realm of the, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? In their existence.
We don't.
And, or when we look at these different bugs, how do we know that those bugs aren't the aliens that we all talk about?
My silence is, okay.
That doesn't make sense, but I was high, but
that wasn't
in a way it made sense.
Hey, check this out. You're doing a good advertising for wherever you're getting this from. But no, seriously. The interesting thing about Bernstein is you ask questions that one has to reflect on and think about, really. Because, you know, one of the things that Robert Kennedy said before he died was that he thought things – or no, he didn't say it. His brother said it about him. Edward said it, that – Robert Kennedy also would think in the terms of things, why not? Okay.
True. Why not?
Why not? So, you know, even though I know that I'm going to sit at home and think about these things, I'm going to come up with the same answer. Why not? I mean, if you can't dispel it, that's for sure.
That's true.
Okay? And with the lack of understanding and the quote genius thought processes, which kind of I have to question these geniuses, including those myself, is that we apply things without asking the question, why not?
true. And that's why, even like when we go back to the vaccine now, now there are people out there that ask the same question, why and why not? But then sometimes people are afraid to speak up or think like that because, like, the society that we're creating now comes after people who think like that, who think why or why not.
Once again, and you know what? You never did this to me before. You got me thinking, like, what the heck?
I've been studying, sir.
Yeah, obviously. You've put a lot of things in my brain to think about, and my brain ain't that big sometimes. But I'm going to sit and think about it, and I'm going to have some of those answers for you, or at least my perspective on those answers when we get back to our next show. But right now, it's time for me to take a break. And also pay some bills. Let's pay the bills first. Digital Card, you got to check us out. One of the best companies. I've got to say, it's not only because they're our sponsor, but I'm being on the real of this. The thinking of the people, and especially one person who is the driving force behind Digital Guard as well as our station, I mean, unbelievable mind. And what he's come up with is just revolutionary when it comes to protecting your business as well as your home. You contact them at www.preventbusinesscrime.com for your business and www.preventhomecrime.com for your home. I mean, you won't be disappointed. As a matter of fact, I guarantee you that once you start viewing the products in which they have to offer, you're going to buy. There's no doubt, because you can't live without it, especially when you're talking about protecting yourself, your business, and your home. We're going to take a pause for the calls. We'll be back very shortly. You're with Stephen B., the show Controversy. We are going to get you on the nines because we must prepare you for the tens coming 2022.
In the storm, every man has me walking down. 3 to 1. prophet, I don't want you here. Yeah. It's something about the way you stare into my eyes. I know that I don't make things clear. I fall for you every time I try to resist you. We can get away. Palm trees, beach views, losing every day. All I wanna hear is in the pictures on replay. Right next to you, you. I try not to show how I feel about you. Think you wish you were, but we don't really want to. I just wanna get away and sit right next to you, you. I don't wanna kiss you. Yeah, I just wanna.
Love can conquer. right?
Always a chance to grow from the struggle, from the pain, from the realness. Here's my story, Lord.
Hey world, yeah, I know it's been a while. Thought I'd come around and let you know what's up now. No album lately, so my mind is kinda up down. I still been taking care of my mama and them somehow. Disappeared from the scene and left my old team. Had to find a new approach to an old dream. And it's not to take a shot at my old team. I just want you to see, this is me. So please accept me for who I am. And please accept me for what I do. I'm just doing everything that I can, 'cause all I wanna be is true. So please accept me for who I am, and please accept me for what I do. 'Cause there's no me without you, and all I wanna be is true. Alright, and all I wanna be is true. Apologies if I ever let you down. So much didn't happen that it's hard to talk about. So many losses that my lawyer said don't talk about it. Just had to pray and keep it cool till I can walk about it. Came home, held my sister, raised a child. Kinda hurt me 'cause I could have my own now. I lost my baby, damn, it's really getting home now. I just had to learn. This is me. So please accept me for who I am. And please accept me for what I do.
We're back, and you're on the show Controversy with Stephen.
19
D.
minutes.
Thank you. You're on the show Controversy, doing the key of B, excellence for you and me. And let me give a shout out. I was just talking to Bernstein about Sierra doing Rockin' Eve with Brian Seacrest this year. I didn't know she had done the last couple of years. I haven't really watched Rockin' Eve in a while, but they were interviewing her today on Good Morning America. And she was talking about her relationship and the kids, and everybody knows that she's married to Russell Wilson. And one of the things I kept saying to myself was, can we get him in Indianapolis? Pierre won't come here, I'm sure.
What is with Indianapolis? They won't get that young, up-and-coming quarterback.
Well, part of the problem with Indianapolis in sports, period, and that's not only football but basketball, is we're in a small market, okay? And we're living in a generation where these guys want to be in the L.A.s and the New Yorks and the Atlantas and play. Well, I don't know about Atlanta because they haven't done too well either. But and I understand it because it's no longer about the sport. It's about the money. It's about location and image and all that stuff, you know. So
and it's also about access to the money outside of the sport too.
Well, that's true.
And that's why they want to be in those bigger markets, those bigger hubs. That makes sense.
And you know, it may change, and I'll tell you why. Because when college, which I'm not sure I really understand it. I shouldn't say understand it, but I'm not sure how I feel about it. But now that colleges, players are allowed to use their names.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Long enough.
Yeah, but because I've always said that these guys and girls need to be, I should say guys and girls, lady and men need to be compensated. Because these schools, man, are making mega bucks off sports, okay? I mean, you can't show me a school that's not. So that's interesting. And also, let me give another shout-out to somebody. They can say what they want to, but Deion Sanders getting that draft pick was a brilliant move. And you know what blows me away, that ticks me off, is that I'm sitting there listening to white commentators on the radio saying stuff like, well, you know, it was a tit for a tat thing because he didn't get the job at LSU or USL or whatever it was, so he went after this player. Well, first of all, now you're trying to tell me this kid is a stupid kid. Obviously, he's not. Academically, he's as good as his athletic skills. But, you know, they talked about, oh, Jackson State's a second-rate school and, you know, eighth of all the schools and this. I'm going to tell you something. These young people of color coming from schools of color, i.e. one, the Vice President of the United States, you know, Barack, some of the others, the truth of the matter is this. They are just as good, if not better, than a lot of the schools, okay? And me coming from UC Berkeley, you know, I can tell you that I would never even question the intelligence are the academic training that these young men and women are getting. So once again, you know, the conservative white America, I'm sorry to call it what it is. Y'all need to, you know, take a chill pill and call things the way they are. It's a good school. Deion is larger than life, and he got the player. He got the prize. No different from any other school. So I'm going to leave that alone.
It's a competition, right? And they won.
That's a fact. He definitely won. I mean, he pulled it off. And the other thing that I got to say before I go about sports, to think that the Indianapolis Colts got a six-round draft pick who was leading the NFL in rushing yards. This boy running like somebody stole his girlfriend, okay? Jonathan Taylor, he's a real deal, man. He's a real deal.
Yeah, I've noticed.
Oh, that's right. You're not a Colts fan, are you?
No, I'm not.
And what fan are you?
Well, I was diehard Redskins fan, but now they're called the Washington Football Team.
Losers.
Yeah, they're losers. And
they can't even.
And I'm a Rams fan, an LA Rams
now,
fan
LA,
originally.
Well, LA, I got to credit what credit is due. But Washington, I mean, they can't even beat Ben Davis, can they?
No, they can't beat me and you.
We're having fun today just starting our show back again. Once again, I'm so delighted to be back on air because I have a lot to say. A lot of people would rather I not say it. And let me say this. If you haven't been offended by me over the past, then stand in line because I'll get around to you as soon as I can, okay? Because I'm going to say what I got to say. And if it offends you, I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. And I'm not going to say things that are politically correct because what I am going to do is speak my mind, and my mind is connected to my heart. So that's the way it is. Now, with that being said, If you're scared, say you're scared. Don't forget the call-in line is 515-605-9800. And also, you can check my show out every Monday and Wednesday from 10 to 12. Controversy is going to do some unloading this year. I'm just kind of soft-pedaling things to start back out because I want you to listen. And I want you to do something else more importantly than listen. I want you to think. It is so important that you think for yourself and sometimes by yourself. Because number one, if you can't lead your life, then I certainly can't help you, okay?
I have to cut you off, Stephen B.
Sure.
We got to end the show because you got to get out of here.
Yeah, I got to get
to 12:30, so you got to run.
Yeah, I got to run. Let me say to you, it's been fun. Got to run. Once again, turn in to the show Controversy. Stephen B. doing it to a key of E. Excellence for you and me. Thank you. God bless you and have a great and wonderful, fantastic day.
Oh, did you say bye?
Oh,
Happy New Year, you guys. And I guess when you come back, and one last thing, I'll be closing out, Stephen B., but when you come back, it'll be January 3rd. So you want to say anything New Year's to anybody, anything?
The only thing I want to say about New Year's or to New Year's is start thinking today about the achievements that you have created this year. In spite of the virus, you've had a great year. But start thinking about all the things you've done this early. Because next year, there's going to be many more blessings, and you'll have to think about it a little longer. Thank you. God bless you. Goodbye.